To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Amen. Dear friends, we started our study of the Bible with a prayer, and this prayer was from the Psalm 25. It's a beautiful prayer asking for God's guidance, and we are expressing our readiness, willingness to wait for Him, to wait for His inspiration. In order to understand the Word of God, we need His help, His inspiration, the inspiration of the Spirit. And it's always good to start with a prayer. Every action, especially when we are trying to learn the Bible. We had been studying various aspects of the Bible, and we have come to know that the Bible is the written word of God. It's a collection of 73 books. Now, today we would like to ask the question, when did this Bible originate? Who wrote all this? Formation of the Bible is the topic of today's discussion. When did the Bible originate? Who wrote the Bible? The question has been answered in various ways. It was thought that the books that bear the names of authors were the actual authors of these books. For example, the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, were also called the books of Moses, because it was believed that God revealed everything to Moses personally, and at the dictation of the Spirit of God, Moses wrote down from the creation to the death of Moses. But later on, scientific study of these five books revealed that this could not have been written by the same person for various reasons. The discrepancy of the facts, the difference in style, a repetition of the same events, different ways of understanding reality, and above all, the very death of Moses is being reported. Nobody would claim that God revealed the thing, such a thing that Moses wrote, that he died and he was buried. So we come to understand that the five books of Moses have a much more complicated and long history information. It happens the same with other books also. Some books are clearly written by the same author. For example, the letters of Paul. Paul dictated to a secretary and wrote the letters to Romans, to the churches in Corinth or in Galatia. And some of the letters, for example, to Philemon, personal letters. So the 13 letters of Paul are more or less accepted as genuine letters by him, even though some of the letters are being disputed. Are they really written by Paul, for example, letter to the Ephesians or Colossians? Or is it written by a disciple? But as a whole, we can say the 13 letters of Paul are written by him. But it's not the same story with the other books. And besides, the books or the Bible somehow reveal God's intervention in history. It contains the revelation of God. And the revelation took place in a particular point of history at a particular part of the globe. And this concrete intervention of God in the history that revealed himself and is also directing, forming the history of the people, has become the foundation of the Bible. So when we speak about the formation of the Bible, we have to think about at least 1,000 years of duration and various stages through which the process went till the present 73 books took their final and definitive shape. And these various stages can be put into three points. The first is the God experience. And the second point would be the proclamation. And the third would be the writing down. I shall try to explain what I mean by these three points. God experience is the beginning of this revelation. So God reveals himself and this revelation has to be somehow understood and experienced by the people. God revealed himself in history through a historical intervention, through a definite intervention in a particular time and place. Bible is reporting God's intervention in history, historical events. Bible is not just telling fables. They are not just concocted stories, not parables alone. There are parables, there are stories, but the main events reported in the Bible, they are historical events. So the first point is the God experience is based on certain historical event. And this historical event has been explained and people have believed in this explanation or interpretation. To be more precise and concrete, I'll take two examples. Two examples of God experience and historical events. The first is the foundational event in the Old Testament, an event that formed the people of God. And that particular event, that event of a pivotal importance, we call the Exodus event. Exodus event. Exodus means going out. And this Exodus event has various stages. This is the event by which a people was formed, the people of God. It is the event in which the people of Israel came to understand God, experienced his presence and nature and his plan and will. So the first stage of this Exodus event is the liberation from the slavery in Egypt. A group of people who were enslaved in Egypt were miraculously liberated by the powerful intervention of God through a leader called Moses. So the first stage is liberation from slavery. And the second stage of this formation, this event, is the crossing of the sea. The crossing of the Red Sea or Sea of Reeds, where the waters miraculously parted and the people could march in the middle of the sea and come to a new existence. So the crossing of the sea has a physical, geographical, as well as a symbolic and theological meaning. The theological meaning of this crossing is an ultimate liberation, a saying goodbye to the past and entering into a new world. A liberation from the past slavery, leading to the status of children of God, saying goodbye to the past and entering into a new life. So that is the second stage. And the third stage of this event, they are formed into a people. They were a crowd of slaves, now they become a people at the foot of the Mount Sinai. There they encounter God, the Holy One, the Mighty One. And they understand, they receive his will expressed in Ten Commandments and social and religious laws. There they enter into a covenant with God, or God enters into a covenant with them, and they accept this covenant in obedience, faith. So that is the third stage, the formation of the people at Mount Sinai. Exodus 7 is not over with this yet. And they have to march on to the promised land. The liberation would be total, complete only when they reach the promised land. For that, they have a long way to go, a long, long way to freedom. That is the march to the freedom That is the wandering through the desert. That is the fourth stage. Wandering through the desert, during which they experienced God's protection, God's providing care, and also they were tempted, and they tempted God. They failed, they were punished, they were chastised, they were being trained. So the march through the desert, the wandering through the desert, was a period of formation, the fourth. And finally, they reached the promised land, the conquest and settlement in the land God promised. So from slavery to freedom, from Egypt to Canaan. So this is the whole complex of events that we call the Exodus event. It is in this event that the people of God, or people of Israel, experienced their God. How did they experience it? They went through certain events, and these events had been interpreted to them by the leader Moses, who was inspired, called by God. So the event becomes an experience. The people experience it when it is being interpreted. So there are three stages in this very experience itself. The first is the event. The second is the interpretation of the event. It is God who is leading you out. It is God who hears your cry. It is God who parts the water for you. It is God who sends the manna for you. It is God who reveals his will in the covenant and commandment. So the interpretation of the event. And from the part of the people, there is a need of faith and acceptance. The moment they believe it, the moment they accept God, it becomes a experience, God experience for them. So this is the first stage of the formation of the Bible, the encounter with God that leads to a tremendous God experience. And this experience has to be transmitted. That is the second stage of the formation of the Bible. And this transmission comes through proclamation. Those who experienced this God of liberation, this God of covenant, this experience was transmitted to the posterity. And this has been done in various ways. First, in the context of family, the parents or the father of the family narrated the story, narrated the God experience, their events to the children. And this was done mainly through festivals. For example, the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread. When they were celebrating the Feast of the Passover, the youngest child of the family would ask, "What is the meaning of all this?" So that is being repeated year after year. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 to 25, we read like this. When your children ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your children, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case." So this is how the parents were teaching the people, transmitting the God experience. This was done in the families, but also this was done in the shrines, in the context of various festivals. They had three major festivals, all related to this Exodus event. The first is the Feast of the Passover. The second is the Feast of Pentecost, and the third, the Feast of Tabernacles. And they had also other festivals, other days, when they come to the shrine, the temple or the prayer center, and there the history of salvation was narrated. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 26, we have from 1 to 15, we have a report of such a confession of faith. When the first fruits are gathered and brought to the temple, the one who brings the first fruit is supposed to say like this. When chapter 26 verses 4 and following, When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord our God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. Then he continues on to say how the people were oppressed and how God liberated them and brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey. So this is how this God experience was promulgated, was proclaimed, was transmitted. It's a through tradition. And this tradition of God's intervention was written down at various centers, and gradually these were collected, edited, and brought into the form of a book. As far as the history of the Old Testament is concerned, the first written document, collected and edited document, is supposed to have come into existence during the time of David or Solomon, the 10th century BC. Scholars say that behind the so-called Pentateuch, there are at least four such written documents that came into existence at various periods of the time. The first document would be called the Yahwist document. The second would be the priestly document. Then you have the Elohist and the Deuteronomist. So the four different documents stand behind the present Pentateuch. We'll come to this later when we study the Pentateuch in detail. So much about the history of Israel and the Pentateuch. But there are also collections of prophets. We have 18 books called prophetic books. And of these books, 16 of them bear the name of a prophet. And the prophets were not writers. Prophets were speakers. They spoke the word of God. They communicated the word of God. Only very rarely did they write anything. Jeremiah used a secretary, Isaiah wrote something. But as a whole, it's the disciples of the prophets who collected and edited the prophecies, the books of the prophets. And there are wisdom books, Psalms, for example. Many, many people have participated in the creation of this book of Psalms. 150 Psalms may have many authors and centuries of duration till this book took the present shape. So the entire Old Testament took almost 1,000 years in forming into a book. We come to the New Testament. The New Testament has a central theme, central event, that is the Christ event. Jesus the center, Jesus the Christ the center event. And the Christ event can also be seen as five steps. The birth of the Messiah, birth of Jesus Christ, his public life, his teaching, his ministry. The third is passion, suffering, death and resurrection, resurrection, exaltation. So from the birth to the exaltation of Jesus Christ, this whole life, death and resurrection, this reveals God definitively. God has spoken his final word through Jesus Christ, not only through what Jesus did, but all that Jesus was, Jesus is, what he did and what he taught and what he suffered. So this is the Christ event that is the center of revelation. And through this event, God is revealing himself as the Father, as the Redeemer. And Jesus commissioned or demanded the disciples to go out and proclaim this. He did not write anything himself. He did not ask the disciples to write anything. What he did was commanded him, go and bear witness to me. Proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth and teach everything that I have taught you to observe. So Jesus sent out to proclaim and to teach. And the disciples, at the beginning, they were also proclaiming. So from the event, so the Christ event that led them to a great Christ experience, went out, the disciples at the second stage becomes the proclaimers or the kerygma, the proclamation. The message of salvation that they experienced and they learned was proclaimed as a missionary discourse. They went all over the world and they proclaimed the word. That's the second stage of the formation of the New Testament, the Bible, the proclamation, the kerygma. And this apostolic witness was written down by various apostles, various disciples who were witness to the the Christ event and witness to the apostolic preaching, and so gradually a written tradition originated. So from the Christ event you come to the oral tradition, from the oral tradition you come to the written tradition. And these written documents were gradually taken, put together, collected, edited, and so came out the Gospels. For example, in the book of the Gospel of Luke, in the first four verses, he gives this introduction. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. So this is the methodology Luke has followed, and this is the methodology most of the evangelists have followed. We have four Gospels now: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first three are called Synoptic Gospels, and the fourth, Gospel of John, follows a different path. Anyhow, behind these writings, there are various stages of development and various traditions. And these were taken together, put together into writing as a book. And towards the end of the first century, these books started to be collected and edited. And it took some time for the entire church to accept the 73 books as the Bible. So in the book, in the Second Vatican Council, the document Dei Verbum number 11, we have this: Holy Mother Church, relying on the faith of the apostolic age, accept as sacred and canonical the books of the Old and New Testaments, whole and entire, with all their parts, on the ground that, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their authors. So this is the last statement of the church. But already in the Council of Trent in 1546, the canon was published. But the 16th century council is only stating what the church was believing. Already from the 3rd century onwards, we have evidence that the church was accepting 73 books. So 46 of the Old Testament and 27 of the New Testament books as canonical, as official teaching of the Bible. So now the formation of the Bible has taken a long journey, and hundreds of people have participated in it, and almost 1,000 years it took to come to the present stage of the written book. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word in a written form so that we can read and understand your mind, your love for us. Thank you for these letters you have sent to us, for speaking to us as a father to children, as a friend to friends. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.